We're in a room called the Cube, and it, as someone noticed, you are in a cylindrical space. It is cubical. This cylindrical projection screen is something that we can put in here, but we can also tear it out, or we can just raise it up to the ceiling. I will be honest, this room is not quite cubical. It's a rectangular prism. It's like off by a few feet, but it doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? The space that we're in is first and foremost a black box theater. So it's four stories and then another story on top above the grid. So it's really five stories, but four stories of usable space. It's designed to be acoustically and visually treated. So you can be blacked out and have very little sound going on in here. There's no reverberation. So it's a really good space. And then in this room, we have put a whole bunch of technology to do research and artistic work as well. So we have 148 channels of sound in here, which gives us the ability to do spatial audio. So you go to a movie theater and you hear 7.1 sound, where they have seven channels of sound. We have 148. We can pinpoint sound from very particular locations. So we can reproduce sound in here with incredible detail. It's one of maybe three facilities like this in the whole world that have a speaker system like we have in here. There's a lot of sound research that goes on in here. We also have 24 motion capture cameras. The motion capture cameras use infrared light to see things. And so these little balls, these little markers, are highly reflective in the infrared spectrum. And so the cameras track these. And if you put these onto a virtual reality headset, you can capture it with motion capture. And then when you put this on, it knows where you are and where you're looking, so you can just walk through a space naturally and see it in VR. And then on top of that, we have these virtual reality headsets, but we also wanted to have projection screens. So we installed this, we call it the cyclorama, so we can have projection for a large number of people. So the next thing to talk about is some of these simulations. So right now, we are in the middle of a tornado. Our perspective is in the middle of a tornado. This is the tornado in Goshen, Wyoming, from I believe it was 2003. So with this tornado, which is, by the way, in the middle of nowhere, got no attention, and yet they have amazing data from this tornado. So they were able to get Doppler radars on trucks, and they put them at 90 degrees to an ongoing storm. They can move these Dopplers to get them on either side of a storm, and then while the storm is ongoing, they're able to take that data, but then when they post-process it, they're able to determine through triangulation the direction and velocity of wind inside the storm. This isn't a simulation, this is real data. We're using these little particles to represent wind, the little dots, blue and green and red, and they're just moving through the tornado like they would. Now I should say this is one moment, this is like a snapshot in time. This is what the wind looked like at that time. So it's not like this is the progression of a tornado. This is how wind was moving in a tornado at a single moment. The saturation of the dots, that means if it's really, really red, it's highly saturated. If it's really, really blue, it's highly saturated. If it's kind of grayish, it's not as saturated. So the saturation is the velocity. So you can see here what's called a rear flank downdraft. So this is blue, so this is wind that's going down, and it's coming down behind the storm, and then it's circling back in, getting sucked up, and then it's turning into upward motion, and it's then moving in a circle around the funnel of the storm. I should also mention, you're looking at this little square of land hovering in space is about 80 kilometers square. So this is a huge piece of land we're looking at. And we're also looking at this dramatically sped up. This is about 40 times faster than actual time. This is the reflectivity for the storm at 50 decibels. So this is what you'd normally see from a Doppler radar when you're looking at on the weather channel on TV. Red is highly reflective. It means heavy hail, rain, could even mean debris. Something that reflects the Doppler. So this is where the storm is at its most intense. So you're used to looking at this in two dimensions, but there's no reason that you can't depict it three-dimensionally. It's just that usually that's not how it's being shown on television, wherever you're looking at it. Their purpose for this is to have more theories about tornado genesis. one at a time, whoever wants to, we can put on this VR headset and you can walk around through a different storm. It was in El Reno, which I believe is in Oklahoma. And that was not as long ago. That was a much more destructive storm. Went through a suburb. So we don't have the wind field data, this trajectorized information of where the wind was going. We just have the reflectivity.
So the reason why this is so great, it's brand new research and being done visually that no one has ever done before. For research applications, why is this important? We've never modeled wind flow like this before. And that's really number one. We've never seen a storm like this before. And when you see it at such a fine scale, you can see terrain interactions. You know, how did the terrain impact the strength of the storm or the development? You know, you mentioned the rear flank downdraft. That is one aspect of tornado genesis that meteorologists, we still don't really have a lot of understanding about. Temperature is important, wind speed is important, and this gives us a way to actually see both of those variables in a space that we've never seen before. You know, unless you've got a meteorologist standing in the middle of that with a weather instrument, which is never going to happen, I hope, you're not going to get that type of data. So this allows us to do that. And Zach mentioned the El Reno tornado. That was a storm where several storm chasers were unfortunately killed. And what will make that research important in this space is, you know, we can stand where those meteorologists were caught and see why were they caught there. Why was the storm behaving like that? You know, how did they get caught off guard? And so that type of research is potentially life-saving for the future.
I should mention, we can't do this in real time with the wind fields, but we can do the reflectivity in pretty close to real time. It takes about 5 minutes to process the data, the Doppler radars, and then we can just stream it into the application. And so you can walk around one of those reflectivity blobs from about 5 minutes ago to see what's going on. And the purpose of that, again, would be not for research for tornado genesis, but for ongoing storm, both prediction and for broadcasting, so that you can look at something three-dimensionally, see what's going on.